hand is backwards, you stoner. There we go. I got lured out here. There's something he forgot. I got lured out here because they said they were going to award me, what was it, Bud Father of the Year. I thought, why me? I mean, my first reaction when I heard Bud, I thought, oh my God, is this, you know, CU is a nationally renowned mecca of binge drinking. It can't be something like that, can it? Because I'm not really a pot smoker at this point. I am an ex-pot smoker and kind of lost interest a long time ago in the whole stoner deadhead, or dare I say, boulder vibe that goes with it. And almost everybody I know, including all the people I used to smoke pot with in Boulder, have all quit years ago. But, you know, I'm old enough that, you know, I used to run down to Boulder Creek behind Boulder High and hope the cop on the horse didn't come by. And you aren't smoking any of that noxious weed, are you? Oh, no, not us, officer. Would we do a thing like that? Okay, just don't do it. And that was about it. You could get an ounce of pot, or a lid, as they would call it then, for between about 12 and 20 bucks. And figured, oh, Jimmy Carter's president now. Legalization is right around the corner. And what I really wish somebody would leak on the internet was all the designs for packages of joints that R.J. Reynolds and Philip Morris and the tobacco companies were working on, because they were going to try and corner the market on marijuana as soon as it was legal. And of course, there were the nicknames, including Maui Wowie and who knows what else. But I thought, yeah, if it's legal, imagine how you could sell stuff around here as Rocky Flats Surprise. Yeah. But I got back involved in it later when I found out more about all the other uses for the marijuana hemp plant, including the strain that doesn't even have THC in it, but is illegal anyway. Not just the medicinal uses, but in case nobody's hasn't noticed, we're not just running out of oil, we are running out of trees, and old growth forests should not be cut down to make phone books anymore. But you make it out of hemp paper, you just regrow the forest and you make more paper. And so this fired me up to do a spoken word piece called Grow More Pot, which got me back identified with the legalization movement. And of course, looking for it earlier today before I came out here, I couldn't find it, man. I must have misplaced it somewhere. So instead, I'm going to talk about this. You know, everybody's feeling good tonight, feeling like we're moving forward, and maybe there'll be a little more of these machines in the near future to make everybody happy. But even with all the new businesses springing up, even in Denver, people, we are not there yet. It is not completely decriminalized. And once you get out of sight of this little bubble of hanging plant la-la land and all in Boulder, we have a long ways to go. I mean, right now it's kind of interesting. It's like right when the Berlin Wall fell and nobody knew what was coming next. It's the Wild West right now. You look at all those ads in Boulder Weekly or Westward, and suddenly everybody's a pot entrepreneur, and I'm almost thinking, you know, maybe I should have blown off all the shit I've accomplished with music and other areas to go to medical school so that I could write another pot prescription every 15 minutes and charge people $200. But how long is this really going to last? The backlash has already begun, and it hasn't even really gone viral or gone national with the Palinoids and the Tea Party bozos and those people weighing in yet or anything. They have other things to worry about, like right now, like somebody being able to see a doctor finally and things like that. But I remember growing up here, and I don't think this has really changed. Colorado has always been a real pendulum for how, you know, who's running the state. It's either been people who are pretty progressive and one of the birth worldwide of the environmental movement, or it's been people who are really out of their fucking right-wing minds. It goes back and forth between the two, It did even before all the fundamentalist family values Nazis descended on Colorado Springs and bought it up. It was always like this. It was the ranchers who wanted to kill all the wildlife and put up ski areas versus people who wanted to preserve the wilderness, and that was where the battle lines were drawn. There was like a three-term governor named John Love whose slogan was sell Colorado, and sell it he did. And so now instead of the legalization people all thought was going to happen, of course, Reagan and crew stormed in. All the people who wanted to get revenge on the 60s and all the progress made any way possible and make sure that the only cartels controlling the drugs were the big pharmaceutical companies and the CIA running coke and heroin, and that was it. I had the misfortune of living with a drug dealer roommate at the time Reagan got in, and he said, wow, it's great. All of a sudden, speed is a lot easier to get, and it's a lot more potent. Meanwhile, marijuana got harder and harder to get, and the price got so damn high that now the gateway drug for kids who just want to experiment and don't know any better is meth. How stupid is that? Especially now that we've created a situation where we are in serious danger of turning into another Mexico as it turns into another Colombia with the some of those violent gangsters and cartels you can imagine, including Obama shoving all this money to the Mexican army, who now reportedly is using the money to kill off rivals to the Sinaloa cartel, because that's who they are supposedly, allegedly down with. And they've even moved up here. There's been people who are currently in the Mexican military coming across the border to kill cartel rivals in Phoenix area, in Arizona, and in Tucson. And you've got near guerrilla warfare going on occasionally in national forests and national parks if they find a big pot plantation that the cartel thinks is theirs. That's the last people we want in charge of the marijuana trade. They're real good at polluting things, too. We've now been given the drug war industrial complex, and its kissing cousin, the prison industrial complex. And, God, I'm having trouble seeing here. 41,000 Americans are in state and federal prisons only for marijuana, not even counting the ones in the city and county jails. And almost 90% of the marijuana charges are for simple possession. This costs us $10 billion a year and diverts all our law enforcement officers, or a good chunk of them, from actually going after real crimes. You want to get down with some home invasions or domestic violence or assault? Report a marijuana smoker in another part of town. And let's not forget, even though things are supposed to be all better with Obama, it's still on the books that if they find a few pot seeds in your car, they can seize all your property, home, belongings, everything, and sell it before trial. That is still on the books and being used very selectively, especially when the sheriff wants to confiscate your property. And sometimes, to do that, they will shoot to kill, which happened to a 60-year-old blind rancher in Ventura County outside of Malibu. They did a pot raid, knowing there was no pot there, killed the guy, and then decided, well, we looked at all the properties in the area and decided this was the most valuable. That's the kind of thing this can lead to. And even now, on the books under federal law, one plant in your yard and you're guilty of a federal felony, which kind of makes me wonder why more people haven't taken advantage of that law as a prank and planted pot seeds in other people's yards. There was a friend of mine in high school who seriously wanted to become Johnny Potseed instead of Johnny Appleseed, and just starts growing them in city parks, putting them on suburban lawns, things like that. Sadly, it has never happened. And one of the first people they should do stuff like that to is State Senator Romer sponsoring a bill. And this is a Democrat, mind you. This is supposed to be the anti-Bush party, the anti-Cheney's. But here's this guy trying to one-up Dick Cheney. I don't know if he's Roy Romer's son or not. What's his first name? Chris Romer, Senate Bill 109, that says you have a medical marijuana dispensary, inspectors with revolvers in holsters will come check you out once a week, and to get a lease to operate your business will cost at least $50,000. In other words, saying, okay, we'll allow a little bit of medical marijuana, but the only people who can afford to put up with those rules are R.J. Reynolds and tobacco companies and all. That's what he seems to get and have in mind. And if you like Senator Romer, you will love Joe Biden, who is the author. Oh, there goes my mic. Is that a hint? Anyway, the author of some of the worst federal drug laws on the books. Biden is the one who got mad when the Patriot Act went through, claiming it was plagiarized from him. Biden is not a nice guy. Those teeth will blind you at 1,000 yards, but there ain't no funk in that man. He's just very, very nasty. He also rammed through what's called the RAVE Act, where any facility, the owner of any facility where one person uses any kind of drugs, lose their property, $250,000 fine, and up to 10 years in federal prison. It hasn't been enforced. All they have to do is threaten to enforce it on things like fundraisers for Normal in Montana and Mission Accomplished. So, and you'll love this one too. You know how the Patriot Act, which Obama has supported repeatedly, has this little sneak and peek rule where the cops can now go into your place and look at all your stuff, check your email without even telling you they're there, or raid your business and do that. But if you tell anybody, even a lawyer, that they did it, you can go to jail for that. Well, of all the Patriot Act sneak and peek orders, 65% of the 760 requests in 2008 were for the war on drugs, not the war on terror, and only 3 were for terrorists. So the chances of Obama dropping the ball on this budding new business and culture and getting it through are very, very high. Which is why grassroots action like what's going on in Colorado is so important. You never get stuff done from the top down. It's when people cause trouble from the ground up. We stopped Vietnam. We got civil rights laws. And if it weren't for all the people causing trouble in the streets, we never would have gotten a New Deal out of FDR either. You know, and look what happened with health insurance when Obama gets in and people say, oh, Bush is gone, we can sleep easy now, and then they just go to sleep. No, it's not so much Obama let us down with no single payer, public option. No, we let him down and let the public option down by not having things like a million uninsured march on Washington, things like that, so that the teabaggers don't grab all the attention. Communication is so essential here. It's so good that people finally woke up 10 or 15 years ago, and it was about medical marijuana instead of just smoke-ins, and think of the tax revenues, what it'll do for family farms, save the trees, let people out of prison. Any governor, by the way, could just commute all small-time drug offender sentences in the state prisons to time served and let them out immediately if they wanted to. More pressure on that would come in handy. It should be decriminalized rather than flat-out legalized. Alcohol and tobacco are decriminalized. They're not 100% legal. There are restrictions, and that I support. I mean, cannabis is addictive. We might as well admit that. I had a horrible time quitting. Burned up my Robert Plant voice, too, before I turned 20, but then again, was music better off? You decide. You know, it's marijuana is not completely harmless, but then again, neither are screwdrivers, diapers, cars, bike chains, wood chippers, And thanks to a bumbling hijacker, you have to add underwear to the list now, too. And he burned up his own dick by mistake trying to blow up a plane. Yeah. I mean, and as a gateway drug, is it really more dangerous than video games or American Idol or, for that matter, Ritalin? And is it really more addictive to our precious young people than their phones? I don't think so. And when I say decriminalize, I don't just mean decriminalize marijuana. That's only where it should start. If we want to put the cartels who are killing people right and left out of business, we have to do what the Dutch have done and decriminalize the hard drugs too. Decriminalize heroin, even decriminalize crack and meth, and have people get it on prescription for, like they do in Holland, from government centers for free so they don't have to rob and kill people to pay high mob drug prices. And what do you know? Crime goes down. Balance that with better education in better funded schools from the tax revenue from all that weed, where people learn the dangers. You know, instead of just telling people don't have sex, don't do drugs, have real sex and real drugs in class, as an elective class, so people knows what really is going on. Frat boys won't be so mean to women because they don't have any experience and things like that. People who find out they have an addiction gene can get help early. So instead of finding out while they're driving or climbing the flat irons with no equipment in the middle of the night when they're drunk, or having just one more drink, trying to get into that precious Colorado or CSU sorority, and dropping dead. And it's so important to support organizations like NORMAL and Marijuana Policy Project, Drug Policy Alliance, and Families Against Mandatory Minimums, trying to get rid of some of these long prison sentences. And believe it or not, we could actually find allies with some of the teabaggers if we at least build a bridge on this one issue. They don't like anybody taking away their guns. They don't like anybody interfering in their personal life. Well, why should they interfere with what people smoke or use for medicinal purposes either? Point out the property seizures and all. And as this evolves, also beware not just of people like Romer, but people, even entrepreneurs, who want the laws rigged so that marijuana stays expensive. The price should plummet when people grow their own, not stay so high that a lot of people wind up buying meth instead. We can do this, we must do this, and be prepared, there will be serious costs. I'm sure gonna miss all those hilarious anti-drug ads on TV, won't you? Don't give up, thank you.